God's after something today. Yeah, he's after our hearts. He wants to bring victory in the areas that we're struggling in our lives, not only individually, but our families' lives, the church body here at CLCC. He wants to bring victory in areas in this house. Will we surrender ourselves to him? You know, when you think about it, it's really a no-brainer, isn't it? Do you want healing? Do you want deliverance? Do you want prosperity? Do you want the blessing of God? You can have that, or you can have what you have now. You can have this, or you can have that. You know, when we put it in those terms, it's really a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, salvation is that way, right? When you boil it down, would you like to have a restored relationship as a son or daughter of the Creator of the universe, or not? I'll choose son every day, right? Amen. Amen. God wants to bring freedom to us today. Let me share something real quick. This was so encouraging to me. You all know Richie Lewis. We take a team up there. We try to get up there once a month to his outreaches. This is a thing he posted on Facebook yesterday. We had another great outreach at the Dream Center today. Here are just two highlights. The team prayed for a man who was suffering from chronic neck pain and lack of mobility. He could hardly turn his head after breaking it 2 years ago. A team member prayed for him and asked him to do something he couldn't do before. To his surprise, he was able to move his head all around, regaining full mobility. Then he exclaimed, "All the pain is gone." The team member then shared the gospel with the man, and he gave his life to Christ. Come on, don't you love that? Yes! Yes, the greatest gift. The healing was awesome, and then salvation on top of it. Love it. Some team members also prayed for a woman who had severe back and ankle pain, level 10 on a scale from 0 to 10. It was so bad that she could not even come within 6 inches of touching her own knee, and she could not walk on her ankle without walking very gingerly. After prayer, she looked at the team with tears streaming down her face and told them she was 100% pain-free in her back and ankle. The team asked her to test it out by bending down as far as she could and walking on her ankle. She bent down and came within 6 inches of touching her toes, and she began walking completely normal. She was blown away. Awesome. Don't you love that? Yes, yes. The freedom that we can experience when we accept God's invitation to come to Him. The freedom we can experience when we accept His request for us to give Him our hearts. Will you surrender your hearts was the word that came in early morning prayer. And again, we're crazy not to, right? We are just crazy not to. I want to talk about a place of freedom today. And let's start out. Y'all should have one of these core value sheets in your bulletin. Mine's yellow. I don't know if they're different colors or not. But this is the CLCC core values. And it says there, you can see in parentheses, what is most important to us, how we would describe ourselves to others. Okay? These are our core values. This is what we're all about. If you boil it down, this is what's important to CLCC at our core. And you can see there's 8 of those that are kind of spelled out. I want to look at number 8. It says to cultivate a safe environment where people can experience freedom and healing. Freedom and healing. Today we, amen. Do we want that? Is that important to us? Yeah. Just think of the freedom and the healing that we've been able to experience because a grandma was praying for us. Right? That's my story. Yeah. I'm at West Virginia University, not walking with the Lord, not even close. And I had a grandma and grandpa in Manchester, Kentucky, praying for this boy when I was running wild. And God heard their prayers. And he drew me to himself, you know? And I experience freedom today and have for 30-some years now because of the prayers of my grandparents. They were able to help me experience freedom and healing. Can we do that in turn for others as well? Loved ones in our families, co-workers, neighbors, people in the church that, you know, we're a little further down the road than what they are. And we want them to experience all the freedom and healing that we're experiencing. We want to cultivate a safe environment where people can experience freedom and healing. And I believe God wants us to step into a new level of freedom today. If you came here today expecting the status quo, expecting the same old, you might as well leave right now because God has some good stuff for us today. A new level of freedom if we are willing to step into it. Amen? I'm willing to step into it. I'm wanting to step into it. I don't want the status quo. I don't want the same old. What I've had in the past is good, but I want more. God has more for me. God has more for my family. God has more for this house. Yes. And as we surrender our hearts to Him, we can experience new levels of freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, this isn't so much a teaching, but an opportunity for us to think a little bit. In addition to waiting on the Lord and consider what He is saying to us individually and corporately as a body here at CLCC. We're going to have some time at the end where we're going to wait on the Lord, and I believe He's going to speak through different ones prophetically, especially in the area of word pictures. I believe that He's going to speak to us prophetically through word pictures, and we're going to be able, as a result of that, be able to step in to new levels of freedom. Fasten your seatbelts. It's an adventure today, okay? You ready? This is better than the Great Bear at Hershey Park, okay? This is the Kingdom amusement park ride today that God has us on. It's going to be awesome. Okay, so let's start in 2 Corinthians 3:17, a verse that's very familiar to us, and we're going to springboard off of here. We are contending for new levels of freedom today that God wants to give to us. Now, since this isn't a teaching, I'm just going to give this verse. I mean, we could go all day on the context of it, which is awesome, but I just want us to focus on 2 Corinthians 3:17 that says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." We could say freedom, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Is the Spirit of the Lord here today? Yeah. So we have an opportunity to experience new levels of liberty and freedom because Holy Spirit graced us with His presence today. Holy Spirit decided when my children cry out for me, I'm showing up and I'm going to meet with them. We get to experience awesome things because God's presence is here. Whoo! That makes me happy. I'm ready for that. I want that. Let's go for it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. So if we value freedom, we should value Holy Spirit, right? Because it's in His presence where there's liberty, there's freedom. And He's here today. Now, what could happen in an environment where freedom reigns? Where freedom is the overriding principle of that atmosphere? What could happen? Give me some group participation. What could happen in an environment where freedom reigns? Just yell something out. Breakthrough. Breakthrough could happen in an environment where freedom reigns. Amen. Complete peace. What, Jack? Blessing. Yes. joy, peace. I don't know about you, this stuff is sounding good to me. You like this? Joy, peace, breakthrough. All that can happen in an environment where freedom reigns. And that's what we're cultivating here at CLCC. Have we arrived? Not yet. But dude, that's the direction we're going in. More and more. We have a level of freedom that we experience now, and we want more. We're contending for more. Because we want more breakthrough. We want more peace. We want more of the stuff that you all are sharing with me. How about salvation? Could salvation happen in an environment where freedom reigns? I think someone said healing, deliverance. Could stepping into destiny be something that happens in an environment where freedom reigns? Could someone be released from bondage? You know, we were at the Dream Center here a couple months ago, and Mike has a great friend that he made from Global, Stephen Speck, I believe, right? And Stephen and I were out on an outreach a couple months ago, and we had the privilege of leading this woman to the Lord that morning. It was awesome. And despite her circumstances, she heard the gospel and she responded to it and said yes. And just between us, afterwards, Stephen and I were talking, and it seemed like she lived in one of these row homes in uptown Harrisburg, in kind of a tattered street. You know, the houses weren't very nice, and that whole area is kind of in need anyway. And this was like a typical house in uptown Harrisburg. Anyway, we noticed that there were several other women living in this house, and not in a condemning way or anything like that, more just an observation. As we talked, it seemed like she was either living in a house with some other lesbians or in a house of prostitutes, is what it seemed like to us. That was our observation. Nevertheless, when presented the gospel, she responded to it. Now, the Lord's going to work in her life. He's faithful to complete the good work that He started in that woman, right? And she has now experienced a level of freedom that she didn't have before because she's born again. She's a daughter of the Most High. And I believe that God's going to continue to work in her life. She's going to experience more and more and more as she yields herself to Him. That's an awesome thing. What a picture of a woman whose life was headed for destruction. I'm sure she's already experienced so much pain, you know, and disappointment in her life. And she's a new creation in Christ now. Isn't that awesome? I love that. I love that. When freedom reigns, anything's possible. What fosters an environment of freedom? Before we get to that, let's flip it and let's say, what hinders an environment of freedom? What would hinder freedom from reigning today? What are some thoughts? Worried about what other people think. How about those two girls that were up here this morning? Did they care about what anyone else thought? They're dancing and worshiping the Lord. That is a pretty good visual of what freedom looks like. Amen? Yeah, they were not worried about what other people thought. They just were here to worship the Lord. But what are some other things? Thanks, Dan. What are some other things that could hinder freedom? Self-condemnation. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. A couple more. Unbelief. Yes, yes. Israel wasn't able to go in and possess the promised land because of fear and unbelief. Persecution could prevent us from having an atmosphere of freedom. Yes. Sin. Absolutely. Absolutely. Intimidation. Yes, these are awesome things. So those are the things that could hinder freedom from reigning in a place. How about tradition? Well, this is the way we've always done it. So this is the way we're always going to do it. Can freedom happen in a place like that? Yeah, that would hinder it, right? Yeah. What about expectations? Well, my expectation is that this, this, and this is going to happen. And God has something completely different in mind. Is that a place that will foster an environment of freedom, if we're so focused, and we've all struggled with this. I think I've told this story before. Years ago, when I worked for the radio station, we used to do Promise Keepers trips, and we did one the first year to Indianapolis. We went to the old Hoosier Dome, and it was like, I don't know, 65,000 men packed the place out. It was amazing. How many remember Promise Keepers back in the 90s? Yeah. So we took two buses from Harrisburg all the way out to Indy, and the first night, I forget who was speaking, but they gave a salvation message, gave an invitation at the end, and we had multiple guys from our group that went forward and either received Christ for the first time or rededicated their lives to the Lord, right? And it was amazing. They're coming back. We're high-fiving guys. Everyone's happy. These guys are born again. You know, this is why we do these things, right? This is why we take a bus, you know, how many hundred miles to Indianapolis. So long story short, we get back to the hotel that night. It's like, I don't know, 11, pushing midnight, something like that. And we baptize these guys in the outdoor pool at the hotel, right? It was awesome. We had a bunch of pastors with us, baptized them, we dunked them, and they were baptized in addition to receiving the Lord. It was amazing. The whole trip, I mean, coming back, we were praying for guys. They're getting slain in the spirit on the Greyhound bus. It was just off the hook. It was just a great experience. So fast forward to the following year. And again, sometimes we can be creatures of habit, and our expectation is, well, what happened the last time is what's going to happen this time, right? And we can get so focused on that we totally miss what God's doing right here and now. We're not in the moment. And that was me, because we went, I think this year it was, I want to say Pittsburgh. And so first night, this time we had like four buses. Again, multiple men went forward Friday night when the invitation was given. And so my mind goes back to Indianapolis the year before. Well, we got to do a baptism when we get back to the hotel. So I'm running to the nearest phone booth, and they actually did have phone booths back then in the 90s, okay? For the millennials who have no idea what I'm talking about, ask your parents. So I'm on the phone to the hotel, because I got to get permission to get in to use the pool, because we're going to baptize guys just like we did last year. That's what my expectation is. We did it last year. It was good. We should do it again this year. Wasn't happening. Well, our pool closes at this time, and we don't have a lifeguard, and liability issues, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she gave me 101 reasons why we couldn't do it. And I'm like, but, you don't understand. These guys just got saved. We did it last year. But I plead my case, you know, because again, my expectation was dialed in on what happened last year. And I spent all this time trying to line this up, and it never happened. And I totally missed the next speaker, and I missed out on what God was doing in that moment, because I was so wrapped up in my expectation of making it happen last year, this year, again. And we're like that, aren't we? We can do that. That's something that can hinder freedom from reigning in a place. Amen? Let's look at a couple examples of what I'm talking about in Scripture. If you want to turn to Numbers 11. And I do not want to go long this morning, because I'm believing God is going to move in a powerful way prophetically at the end. We're going to do a worship song. We're going to have a time of where just kind of an open mic type thing where people can share prophetically. And we are going to contend for more freedom in this place. So Numbers 11, this is when the Lord speaks to Moses to put the 70 elders in place. Okay? Now, let's start in verse 16 of chapter 11 of Numbers. It says, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you.'" Verse 17, "Then I will come down." Again, this is God speaking to Moses. "Then I will come down." God's going to come down and talk with you there. "I will take of the spirit that is upon you, Moses, and will put the same spirit upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Okay? So up until this point, primarily, Moses has been leading this nation pretty much by himself. And the Lord is saying to Moses, Moses, if you're going to walk in your destiny, if you're going to walk in everything that I have for you, if this nation is going to walk in its destiny, I need you to bring these additional leaders on to help bear the burden. Now, this hadn't been the case up until now. This is something new that the Lord is doing, right? Let's jump down to verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders and the people of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. So the Lord does exactly what he said he was going to do, right? Moses, get these 70, bring them to the tabernacle. I'm going to come. I'm going to take the spirit off you, put on them. And that's exactly what happens, right? They're at the tabernacle. God comes. Spirit poured out on the 70. They prophesy. Verse 26. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. That's what I tell my sons all the time. Medad, you sons. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. So we got Eldad and Medad. They're one of the two of the 70, but they're not in the tabernacle. You with me? They're back in the camp. They didn't make it to the tabernacle when all this was happening. So 68 of the elders at the tabernacle, these two back in the camp. But it's interesting. Look what happens. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle yet. They prophesied in the camp. So what was going on at the tabernacle? Spirits being poured out on these 68 and they begin to prophesy. Same thing is happening back in camp with these two. Spirit being poured out and they begin to prophesy. Now remember, this is something new that the people hadn't seen up until this point. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about things that can prevent us from walking in freedom. Look at the reaction after this happened. Verse 27. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. You know, this kind of reminds me of when you do something and your little brother goes and tattles on you, you know? And this young man goes to Moses, hey, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. You know, it kind of reminds me of that. And in all fairness to him, you know, this young man had probably never seen anyone other than Moses prophesy. This was all new to him. And it seemed not only unusual, but it seemed like maybe it was inappropriate because he had never seen it before. But again, what we've seen in the past, what we've experienced in the past, the status quo can hinder us from walking in the new thing that the Lord wants to do in our lives. Can you see that? For this young man, he had never seen this before, and maybe he was a little bit afraid. I think something wrong's going on here. I better go tell Moses, right? Let's read on. Verse 28. So Joshua, you all know Joshua, right? He's the leader that followed Moses and actually took Israel into the promised land. This is mighty Joshua. Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Joshua is trying to control the situation. Maybe he's thinking the same thing that the young man thought. Well, Moses is the only one I've ever seen prophesy. This is inappropriate for these other people who aren't in the tabernacle to prophesy. Look, let me tell you, God is not limited by geography. Right? He was doing something awesome in the tabernacle with these 68, but that didn't prevent him from doing the same thing with these two out here. And Joshua is trying to control this thing. Yes.
Not only is he not limited by geography, but he's not limited by doing things just in
a church. Ah. Well, wait a second. I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, if you just think about it.
You can only share the gospel in the church, right? In the church building. Yeah, that's right. And they can only get healed when we pray for them in the church building. They can only get delivered when they're in the church building. I think we all know that's a bunch of bunk. What about the Dream Center testimony we read at the beginning? That wasn't in a church building. That was in Uptown Harrisburg, right? God's not limited. He wants us to experience freedom. Yes. Now, is this easy what I'm talking about? No. No. We can be creatures of habit. I'm right there with all of us, right? But as we surrender our hearts to Him, and isn't it interesting that God spoke to Moses and said, this is what I'm going to do. As we are intimate with God on a daily basis, He will speak things to us and we'll realize, oh, this isn't something that I've seen Him do. This is new. But as He speaks it to us, we can shift our mindset from the old to the new that He wants to do now. We can do that in prayer, right? Let's look at Moses' response to Joshua. Verse 29, then Moses said to him, to Joshua, are you zealous for my sake? That word zealous actually means jealous. Like, are you jealous for my sake? Are you jealous that these other guys are prophesying and I'm not? Talking to Joshua. He said, this is what Moses said. Was he worked up about it? He said, oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. Yes! I would that we all had God's Spirit. I would that we all prophesy. This isn't just, you know, the old boys club here. You know, this isn't just for me and for a select few. God wants to do something powerfully through all of us. God wants to bring freedom and for us to experience that and share it with others. All of us, not just a select few. Amen? Amen. Does this sound like a leader, Moses now, that is trying to control the people or the situation? No. This sounds like a leader that wants freedom. Does this sound like a leader who is fearful that things might get out of hand? If they get out of hand, we'll deal with it. I want freedom. We need freedom. God wants us to have freedom. He doesn't want us to be pinned in this cage and, you know, because of expectations, because of tradition, because of what other people think, that we can't even get out of this little 4x4 box. He wants us to be free. Does this sound like a man who is content with the status quo? Does this sound like a leader who values Holy Spirit and consequently freedom? Yes. Does this sound like a leader who wants to contend for more and wants the people to contend for more? Yes. That's what God wants to do with us this morning. And going forward as well. This isn't just a one-time deal, you know. Like, there's a great sale going on at CLCC. If you don't get there today, you're going to miss out on the deal. No. God, I think God wants to kick something off today and for us to continue to contend for more and for Him to pour out more and more as we press into Him. So what is important to Moses? Walking in what God spoke to him. Despite possible consequences, despite blowback, despite what could go wrong, the positives of walking in obedience to God outweighed the possible negatives that could happen. And I just want to take a moment to say that we have a pastor who walks in that, in Pastor Steve. He hears from the Lord, and despite the possible negative consequences that could happen, he is more committed to walking in obedience to God than to giving those things place in his heart. And I appreciate that about you, brother. And it hasn't been easy at times. And you've stayed committed. You've stayed strong to the Lord. And we're blessed as a result of that. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's look at a New Testament version, and then I'm going to wrap up here. Acts chapter 10. Okay, let me just kind of put this in a nutshell for us, because I don't want to run us short on time on the back end here. This is Cornelius. Cornelius was a... let me just read the first part of chapter 10 of Acts. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. This is a good guy. Cornelius is a good dude. He's committed to the Lord. He's committed to prayer. He's committed to being a generous, giving person. Not only him, but his whole family. Cornelius is a good guy. He's not Jewish. Okay? So the Lord speaks to Cornelius in a vision and tells him to send for this man named Peter. And he tells him where Peter's going to be. So Cornelius, in obedience to God, sends a group of guys to go get Peter. This is the Apostle Peter that we're talking about. Peter is at a friend's house up on the roof praying. And while he's praying, he actually falls into a trance, and the Lord gives him this word picture of a sheet with the four corners kind of up here at the top. It comes down, spreads out. There's all these unclean animals. And the Lord speaks to Peter, rise, kill, eat. And Peter, being a good Jewish boy, says, no, not so, Lord. Those are unclean. I can't eat them because, according to Jewish law, they were unclean and they were not permitted to be eaten. Okay? So Peter's grid for this is what he had always adhered to, the Jewish law, and this was something that was contradictory to that law. You tracking with me here? I can't do this. This is unclean. I can't eat this stuff. And the Lord comes three times and says, eat. And he says, don't call unclean what I have made clean. And so he's kind of pondering it afterwards, and he's thinking about what this could mean. At that moment, the guys that Cornelius sent show up. Talk about timing, huh? And so they explain, Cornelius sent us. He's asking that you would come to his house and speak. And so long story short, I think it was the next day, Peter ends up going with these guys back to Cornelius' house. And, you know, Peter shows up, and it wasn't just Cornelius. Let's pick it up here in verse 24 of chapter 10. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Now, I don't know what Peter's expectation was. It was probably to go meet with this one guy, you know, and maybe a few others. But when he shows up, like aunts, uncles, cousins, you know, it's like a family reunion at this place, you know? And the place is probably jam-packed. There's people everywhere. And Peter's probably thinking, okay, Lord, what are we doing here? This is quite an adventure. This isn't what I was expecting. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down on his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. So then Cornelius goes through this whole story of how the Lord spoke to him to go send for him. And Peter is now starting to put the pieces together, because he's at the home of this Gentile soldier. And he even says to him, I want to get the verse. Here it is, verse 28. Peter says to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Back when he had the vision, it wasn't lawful for him to eat those things. And now the Lord sent him to this Gentile's house, which again was unlawful for Peter to do as a Jewish man, according to the Jewish law. You didn't go into a Gentile's home or someone from another nation. You didn't do that. That was unlawful to do. But by now, the Lord just kind of ran through all those red lights anyway. So, you know, Peter's just along for the ride. And but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And now Peter is starting to put the pieces together. Long story short, he preaches to this group of people at Cornelius' house, and the Holy Spirit falls, and they begin to speak in other tongues. And Peter and the Jewish men that were with him were astonished. That's literally what the word says. They were astonished. They said, oh my gosh, this gift that was poured out on us is now being poured out on these non-Jewish people. And Peter has to shift his mind from what he used to know to what God is doing now so that he can experience freedom in his life and these people can experience the freedom of receiving the gift of God in their life. As we walk in freedom, it blesses us, it benefits us, but as we walk in freedom, it helps others to walk in that freedom and blessing as well. And that's exactly what happened. Now, was there some blowback as a result of this? Oh, yeah. If we just read a little bit in the beginning of chapter 11, now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Listen to this. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, those who were Jewish, right, contended with him. And they put him on the hot seat, and they had some definite questions for Peter, right? Saying, you went to an uncircumcised men and ate with them? Have you lost your mind, Peter? You can't do that! And Peter, like step by step, goes through and explains how the Lord spoke to him, how the Lord was speaking to Cornelius, sent these men to get him, and that the Holy Spirit fell on these Gentiles, just like the Holy Spirit fell on them as Jewish believers. And at the end of this time, there was like it seemed like there was a consensus that, well, I guess God is pouring out His Spirit upon non-Jewish folks as well. And for the moment, they were all kind of sort of in agreement. Now, there would be other conversations later, but it was tough for these Jewish men to shift what they had known their whole lives and for hundreds of years, and to shift and be able to step into the freedom that God was bringing in that moment. And so it can be for us. It can be a challenge because this is the way we've always done it. This is what I know to be church. This is what I know to be holy. Okay, I think I'm on now, yeah. Yeah, and we even see Jesus model this for us. Remember the woman at the well? The Samaritan woman at the well. She had two strikes against her. She was Samaritan and she was a woman. For those two reasons, Jesus never should have spent time with her and talked to her. Because she even said, why are you talking to me? The Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans. And she was a woman? You know, the Jewish view of a woman was kind of down there like with a dog. It literally, they were kind of on the same level. And yet, Jesus shared good news with her, and He prophesied over her, and He called destiny out of that woman. And what did she end up doing? This woman who probably had this not-so-good reputation, she had been with multiple husbands, and now the guy she was living with wasn't her husband. So she had like a not a good reputation. That very woman went back, shared Jesus with the whole town. Many of them came out and received Christ. Yes! Yeah, she was like, yeah, commissioned evangelist, just like that. That's the kind of freedom that Jesus can bring to us, right? And I believe He wants us to step into a higher level, a new level of freedom today.